Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, or a show we call Horde House for short. It's a show about all things World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining you over the next hour or five with my co-hosts. Say hello to the one, the only, Extifer.
Burp.
How are you, Extifer?
I'm doing great, you.
You seem a little gassy. What was that you said there?
I don't know.
Burp.
I just said burp. I don't know why.
Burp. What's new?
It's the Tourette's.
What's new in Extifer's world?
What's new in my world? My world revolved around calling AT&T this week.
Why is that? Is there somebody there you're trying to get a date with? So you keep calling back
yeah.
hoping to get that person again?
Yes, exactly. And I have a restraining order against
me. Oh, that's too bad.
I don't have a restraining order against myself. That'd be weird. It's like, if
then
I
you'd
touch
never
myself,
be able to touch yourself.
To
that would be horrible.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I think I mentioned on the show I switched from AT&T to Comcast again because connection. Yeah. So when I originally signed up for AT&T, I signed up for the no term commitment as long as I provided my own modem, which my friend Cameron provided me with a modem. So I didn't have to sign up for the contract.
God, I'm bored already.
Yeah. Well, you know, it gets more interesting. So basically, they charged me $150 for quitting, and even though I didn't sign up for any term commitment, and so I
did. You tell them to get your hands off my money.
Well, in nicer words at first, but then it became like Extifer was belligerent by the time the entire ordeal was over because I spent 2 hours on the phone with this girl named Noonie, like to get my seriously. And then the next girl was named Olga, like, and then she helps me and she says at the end of the 2 hour conversation, okay, we reverse the order or the charge. And she says, they couldn't locate my original order. AT&T couldn't locate my original order for DSL. So I'm like sitting there going, okay,
God,
well,
is this a wow show or a bitch about customer service show?
Seriously. So anyways, long story short, I spent another hour on the line. Shut up. I spent another hour on the line yesterday with another person, the Olga person. She said that they never reversed the charge. So then I had to spend another hour just bitching and complaining. And at one point I looked at my coworker and I was like, they're screwing me out of my money. And she seriously gets on the phone for the lady is like, no, we're not. We're not trying to screw you out of your money. And I'm like, well, you are. And I just started yelling at her. It's like, don't interrupt my conversation with my coworker, bitch.
Don't interrupt. Rude. All right.
I know. Anyways, I ended up getting the charge reversed and I made sure this time.
All right.
So
look, I need to acknowledge our guest who's probably fallen asleep by now during that whole AT&T story. But say hello, everybody, all the way from overseas, from Britain. Say hello, everybody, to Richard, but you guys know him better as Peeker Uno.
Well, hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
Good evening.
Is that
not
how
too
you
bad.
Is that how you pronounce your name, by the way, Peeker?
It is indeed, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes Rob has a habit of pronouncing things wrong.
No, I've noticed. But no.
Well, thanks. Thank you. It's been the running gag on Orange Lounge Radio for 9 years to make me do the Japanese release dates because I always butcher the pronunciations of the titles. So.
No. Good job on this one. You have no idea how hard I was trying not to laugh during the past 5 minutes. But yeah. That was an epic tale there.
I know, right? Like, I want to laugh at him too. Like, God, you spent 3 hours on the phone.
Seriously, they should pay me for my time. I should have gotten a paid break.
All right.
Like, lunch break from them.
Now, obviously, Britain and everything over there has been in the news a lot this week. Are you now, Peeker Uno, are you in London or are you in not London? Because remember, there's there's two parts to Britain. There's London and then there's the rest.
Indeed, I'm actually in North, not London at the moment, but I was actually in London last weekend.
Oh my.
Yeah, thankfully.
Now you didn't
near.
Get a new TV, did you? Because that's I swear, I can't believe that stuff is going on. And I know we have a lot of listeners over there, so I hope to heck you guys are all safe and sound and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I swear, when I first turned on the television, I was like, they better not burn down Disneyland again, because I thought it was L.A. And then I saw Big Ben in the background. I'm like, oh shit, what happened?
Yeah, it did come as a bit of a shock. Thankfully, it seems to be all quiet now. It's all done. But yeah, quite uncharacteristic, I'd say. And yeah, not very.
Everybody's so proper over there. I've been there before.
Well, they like,
well, not everyone. If you go to the wrong places, and
a couple people over there that like. Were really snooty to me because I'm American, you know, but like,
oh no, everyone's really snooty to Americans, don't worry.
Yeah,
as much as you.
Yeah. good it's not. I got mistaken as a Canadian though one time there.
Oh, so yeah, that happens. That's all awesome. The time.
So yeah, you did not end up in that though, thankfully. You got out of
no
there. Okay, good.
No, I was well away. I could hear the police cars and everything, but nothing happened in my area, thankfully.
Now, you were telling me a little bit before the show that, you know, to kind of bring this back to Warcraft, which is hypothetically what the show is about, you were telling me that this kind of reminded you of something in WoW, right?
It does indeed, in probably what might be the smoothest link this show has ever seen. Remember the Corrupted Blood incident a while ago? Basically, for those who don't remember, when Zul'Gurub first came out, there was like the final boss gave a debuff that was kind of like some kind of plague that spread to people near you. So what people did was they teleported back to cities and stuff and spread the plague to pretty much everyone in any capital city, you know, in every server. And what happened from that was that some researchers actually looked at behavior of people, and they noticed that people more or less were in two camps, those that tried to help, you know, those who tried to heal the people who were infected, and those who tried to cause as much mayhem as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of interesting, because what we saw in these riots was basically the same kind of thing. We had people thinking they could, you know, do whatever they want without any kind of repercussion. We had people who banded together to try and clean up all the mess later.
That's kind of interesting, because I got to say, when I first was reading about the studies that were being done on the Corrupted Blood incident and so forth, I was kind of thinking like, well, but if that were to, let's say that really happened and a disease like that was real, like people wouldn't try to really spread disease like that. Like that's really fucked up to do something like that. But you're kind of right. When you're talking about the rioting and so forth, you have people that are willingly spreading mayhem.
Right. I mean, in Warcraft, you know, there are real, you know, repercussions. I mean, you know, death is temporary. It's, you know, it's a minor setback, as the boss famously said, I think. But in real life, of course, there are repercussions. I mean, these people are going to go to jail at the very least. But at the time, you know, people were smashing windows, stealing TVs and stuff, and the police just couldn't keep up with them. So, you know, there were no repercussions for those 3 or 4 days. There weren't any repercussions
until they threatened to shut off your Twitter, and then it all stopped.
did you have any kind of like want to go down and just like check it out to see what merchandise was available to take home?
Well,
I mean, because I want an Xbox 360, so I'd be like, you know what, you take it when you can get it, right?
You work, well, you see, and then you buy one. You don't steal one, Xtifer.
Oh. Yeah, unfortunately, I've just moved house, so I've actually got loads of new stuff, which I bought just the week previously, so, you know, if I'd waited...
You missed it. You missed your opportunity.
Yeah. Look, in all seriousness, I better not see any of our listeners, because I know there are a few of you that listen over there overseas in Britain and so forth. I better not see your faces on a poster, or I'm coming over there and giving you a big spanking. Don't misbehave.
That's yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't want to be spanked by you.
All right.
I'll give you that.
You don't. All right.
I'll spank you.
All right. Now, hold on.
That's fine.
Now, you haven't just lived in North, not London, right? You once lived in another country.
Yes, I lived in Japan for 3 years, amongst other places.
You're like all kinds of awesome. Like, there's, I want to go to Japan and live in Britain. That'd be awesome. Anyways, go ahead.
Stop flirting with the guest, Extifer. I'm trying to get whatever this story out. All right.
I was in Japan for 3 years on the JET program, which is basically a program sponsored by the Japanese government where you go and teach English in schools. So yeah, I was basically teaching English in elementary and junior high schools for 3 years, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
It was a great experience.
I remember that you emailed the show some time ago talking about these rumors about Warcraft launching in Japan. And, yeah, you know, we've seen the rumor that Warcraft could possibly launch in Japan on the rumored release list that's becoming more and more true that included the WoW launch in Brazil, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
so
yes.
It's looking more and more like Warcraft could actually launch in Japan.
It is indeed.
From your experience, do you think Warcraft is something that would take in Japan, or do you think the culture doesn't really want a game like that?
Well, I mean, from what I noticed, PC gaming isn't that huge in Japan. I mean, it really is more handheld consoles and cell phones more than anything else. However, I just think WoW is such and it's kind of a universal game, you know. It's really easy to pick up, and it's something new. It's something loved all over the world, and you know the Japanese do love. They love new things. Really, they love the shinies. So I think it would do pretty well if it's marketed well.
What MMOs are big over there? Because none of us can seem to figure that out. Everybody always kind of jokes Final Fantasy XI, but I don't really think that game is as big as people think it is.
That might be one of the biggest. Maybe Lineage, mm-hmm. Lineage 2, that kind of thing. Mm. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I never really went to those internet cafes and stuff like that. But
it's all right.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's more the like the Korean MMOs, they're probably the biggest ones at the moment.
All right, well let's bring it back.
Interesting.
Let's bring it back to Warcraft a little bit. Tell us a little bit about when you started playing Warcraft, how you got addicted, and so forth.
Well, in my case, it was a friend who got me addicted to this game. He basically said, "Oh, you know, there's this brand new game. It's really cool. It's an RPG, but even if you don't like RPGs, it's still awesome." So I tried it and I loved it. Basically, I made my first character, my druid, which I still play to this day.
Awesome.
And, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And just that, you know, those first steps in the world, it was just, I just thought, wow, this is a really, really lovely game. And I just couldn't wait to explore the whole world.
Very nice.
So that's, yeah, so I started basically in early 2005, and I've been on and off, I'll be honest, I haven't been playing all the time, but yeah.
That's okay, so is Extifer. Extifer's on it too, and I had a break in the past too, and I always kind of joke on the show, I took my break during Warcraft when some people say it was at its absolute peak, which was during the Ulduar content, when I was on break from WoW, so, you know. Just it happens inevitably to everybody. So, all right. Now, one other thing I know the listeners of Horde House would know you for is that a lot of times here on the show, when I go to the Twitter, you have been live blogging the show, and I always kind of talk about your live blogs.
Yes.
What got you started to think to live blog as you're listening on Twitter?
I don't know. It was just like, you know, when I lived in Japan, I used to listen to Orange Lounge Radio live. And I always used to be in the chat room, which was great fun. So I just,
well,
yeah,
I
kind of liked, yeah, no problem. I'll send you the check later. It's just really cool to comment on stuff as it's happening. Commenting on particular things you say, particular jokes. So I just thought, you know, why not continue on Twitter since there's no live chat room?
I like that. I like that idea, an extension of Twitter. As the chat room. All right.
There you go.
Very good. Well, you know, I'm always big on interacting with the listeners as much as we can. And even though the way we kind of tape this show, you know, some days on a Thursday, some days on a Saturday, doesn't really lend itself to having a live chat room. I like the interaction with people. So I do appreciate all the tweets and the live blogs and whatever else. So, all right. So you've been playing a druid in WoW lately. Now, are you on a break right now? You're not. You're on some off. Well, you just moved. You kind of have to.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I've been on like a 2 month, almost 3 month break, mainly because of the move. Work's been kind of hectic. I don't know. I'd like to get back in because I've heard the latest patch is kind of cool, and I haven't even really finished Twilight Highlands yet. So yeah, I would like to try and finish that content at least.
When you were playing WoW, were you more of a PvE kind of person, or were you a PvP kind of person?
Definitely more PvE. If you excuse the term, I get kind of scared shitless when I have to play with other people. It's not that I can't do it. It's just that I'd prefer not to. I don't really regard myself as a very good competitive player. Mm-hmm. I just like co-op better, basically.
Have you heard the news this week? And Extifer, I don't think this is stepping on any of your news stories tonight, but there's this big rabble going on around the PvP universe right now about shut up, PvP guy. Have you heard about that?
No.
I don't want to misrepresent it because I don't have the story right in front of me, but it was some type of video online, and I believe the guy at Blizzard was talking about Diablo 3, and they were talking about kind of the balance of PvE and PvP, because you know PvP is coming to Diablo, and that's a big thing. But they were talking about that the decisions they were making were very much about PvE, that they didn't want to make decisions and do anything in the game kind of based on PvP, because at the end of the day, Diablo is really about the PvE. And he was talking about, and if they're all sitting up in a room and one guy kind of speaks up and says, but if we change that, it's going to do this and this in PvP, they'll just look at him and say, shut up, PvP guy. And that's kind of been the anti-Blizzard rallying call of the PvP community right now, because obviously, you know, everybody that is really into PvP sends that to all their friends. And, you know, I got sent the link, too, from somebody who's very into PvP, the Shut Up PvP Guy video. And it's kind of saying, well, now we know how Blizzard really feels about PvP. Fuck this game. Blah, 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 and all that. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. But I don't know. I still like PvP. I know it scares a lot of people, but I bring this up because I was talking with one of my guildies this week, and one of my guildies was very much like, no, I hate PvP. PvP sucks. It's terrible. And I'm like, well, why do you hate PvP so much? And, you know, they're just like, because, you know, you just die all the time, and, you know, it feels like you don't really get anywhere. And, you know, I kind of always tell people, I think the hump that people have getting into PvP is that in PvE, you want to avoid death at all costs. Like, if you die in PvP, it's like you lost and you have to start all over again. But in PvP, death is merely a setback, to quote something from earlier in the show. It doesn't, like, end the game just because you died. I mean, obviously you want to try to avoid it, but you got to expect, especially as you're learning PvP, that you're going to die, like, 10 times in a battleground, and that's normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
Oh, well, I was going to say, PvP, it is kind of like a very different game from PvE. I mean, you know, when you start the game from level one, it's PvE all the way, basically. PvP is kind of seems tacked on. So if you know, if you play the game straight, you might not even ever encounter PvP. So when you finally do have a go, like, all the rules have changed. So it might seem, you know, it might seem very daunting.
I think that when you do PvP, like, you may not enjoy the role that you play in PvE, like, as much as you do, or PvP as much as you do in PvE. So, like, maybe if you don't like PvP, try a different role. Like, try to heal. Hmm. Maybe if you do predominantly damage, you know, if you're more of a damage dealer in PvE, maybe try to heal if you're worried about dying so much. And there's a lot of different, like, you know, tactics and skill, you know, that you can learn, you know, in PvP by doing things like that. So,
All right. Yeah. So this isn't going to be awkward at all, but I keep getting these messages from a familiar person to Horde House. So I've got to bring on somebody else here to the show. And it's funny because we're talking about PvP, and this is somebody who is pretty familiar with PvP. Hi, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, nope. like I said before, this isn't going to be awkward at all, right?
Hi. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. Hi, Rice Princess. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, Rice Princess. Hey. I mean, Irene.
Oh my gosh. That looks all over again.
So I gotta ask you about this. Why am I getting I'm getting text messages from you, and I'm getting messages on Skype from you. Can I read this text message I just got from Irene? It says,
I didn't send you.
No,
a text
Irene sent me a text, and it says, I
you
know
have another friend named Irene.
It says,
I'm pretty sure it wasn't me.
Who wants to be Rice Princess? Okay, Irene, I know you guys are taping, but can I pretty please say hi to the hot British dude?
Oh God.
I am not making that up. That's legitimately a text.
I think that was your other friend, Irene.
I think so too. I think you're getting this mixed up.
Yeah, Christopher knows me really well. He would know.
Here's what I don't understand is that I haven't told Irene who the guest is.
I don't know anything that you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. See, so how could I know? It has to be your other friend, Irene.
So how did Irene know that we had a British guy on as the guest?
Because she's your best friend. You told her.
Through osmosis?
It's telepathy. I don't know.
Through osmosis.
All right.
It's a mystery.
Well, do you want to say hi to the hot British guy? Is there anything you want to say?
Sure. Hi.
Good evening.
I don't really have anything prepared, really.
All right. Then.
That's okay. Neither did I, so...
Okay, before this gets really, because like suddenly it's like the dating game here on the show. Look, what I want to ask Rice Princesses or Irene, whatever you're called these days, you're not even playing WoW right now, are you?
No, I'm not.
Why did you leave WoW? Everybody's freaking leaving WoW.
Are you really surprised though, Rob? Come on, for real though. Like, it's so boring now.
Yes.
There's nothing to do.
Yes and no. I would have understood it more like 3 months ago when we were in that absolute lull between rating patches, but I really think 4.2 really filled in a lot of what the game was missing, and that was
really?
A more accessible rating tier for endgame.
It didn't bring me back.
Well, you're weird, and I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, I quit probably, a few weeks after it came out, and obviously, like, nothing really picked up even after that patch came out, so I don't know. It wasn't enough for me. I was really bored. But again, I'm not really a raider. I'm a PvPer, and I don't know.
Shut up, PvP guy.
See, I don't get that. I've been away from WoW. What the fuck is this shut up PvP guy thing?
Well, without totally repeating myself, because I just mentioned on the show, basically there was an official Blizzard interview and they were talking about Diablo 3 and how the focus is really on PvE. And if somebody, you know, speaks up about, well, this will throw PvP off balance, they'll say, shut up PvP guy. But I mean, granted, it was about Diablo 3, but this has become more of the rallying call to the PvP community at Blizzard about Blizzard hates us, basically. Does Blizzard hate PvP, Rice Princess?
That's stupid. Like, when I think of Diablo, I don't think of PvP. So if you want a PvP, play WoW. Like, I don't know. That's stupid. Are they even going to include PvP?
They are, yeah. It's a big deal that PvP's coming to Diablo.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I don't really care. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun, but I'm not expecting that to be a huge aspect of the game.
So do you think Blizzard is screwing the PvP community, or is Blizzard doing just fine?
No, they're just a bunch of whiny babies, like always.
Well, let's be fair. You know, maybe part of the reason you're feeling like 4.2 had nothing for you is because, as a PvPer, 4.2 had nothing for you. In fact, 4.2 screwed the PvP community with the whole honor cash-in early, didn't really go over the cap and all this, where they had to basically give everybody 4,000 honor who bought gear in the interim. I mean, 4.2 was, if you're nothing but PvP, 4.2 was kind of bad news.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, it's just kind of, what more can they really do with PvP? I can see a lot that they can do with with PvE, but with PvP, I mean, there's only so far you can go with it. It's always just going to be the same thing over and over. So I don't know, like, I don't know, unless they completely revolutionize it, like doing stuff like, you know, changing the tokens for honor or whatever, that stuff, it's not a huge deal, at least to me. I think it's just kind of shifting from one type of system to another, and it's not a huge deal, and people just whine about it too much, I think.
But to be fair, I mean, PvP is kind of like football or baseball. you know, some people play that over and over, and it's okay because, you know, it, there's that unpredictability factor, and that's the huge thing that kind of sets PvP apart from PvE is that it's unpredictable, just like a game, a physical game that you play out on a field somewhere that doesn't really change, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't just suddenly reinvent football, but people still play
it. Exactly, but that's the point. Like, people shouldn't even give a shit about all of you. They shouldn't even be demanding any changes. Changing the game, and the player shouldn't be whining about how the game is. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Gulch has always been Gulch. Basin's always been Basin. Like, hello.
Well, they have been screwing with Gulch. I played a Warsong Gulch this week, and it was the first time in there for a long time for me, because I was like, why is the fucking graveyard down here now? Like, this is ridiculous. I know. Yeah, I know it happened that like 6 months ago, but like that's how long it's been since I played Gulch.
Well, okay. They have reasonings for making those kinds of modifications. I didn't like it at first either, but I can kind of understand why they did it. And that kind of stuff I'm not too like pissed off about. It's changing like the way that you get honor and how you get XP through PvP, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. Like, just leave that shit alone. You know, let people just play the game how they're used to it, you know.
Would you be interested in the PvP or WoW or whatever game again if let's say you get new classes in this new expansion? That's going to really just change the balance altogether. Either one new class, let's say it's true that we're going to get playable panda people that are monks.
If there were pandas, yes. If there were new classes, don't really give a shit. Like, I think it's fine how it is. I think there are enough playable classes and enough specs within those classes to really, you know, have fun doing PvP.
All right.
You know,
I know. Imagine, I mean, you saw the balance nightmares that happened with the Death Knight class. Like, imagine with a new class, all of the potential, you know, balance issues they're going to have.
You know, I got to say, though, despite all the shit we give Blizzard on the show sometimes, they do have a really tricky balance that they're trying to put in the game between PvE and PvP. Like, sometimes you think it ought to be two separate games, but it is tough. It's a tough balance they've got to do, and I kind of don't envy that balancing work and making both communities happy.
Oh, well, there's like how many millions of dollars do they get?
I know, like, I know.
Yeah, give me my damn balance!
Well, at the same time, they have to kind of cater to the whims of what, like 11 million players? I know not all of them are PvPers, but I mean, there's always going to be people whining, and they're always trying to find ways to balance the game out and improve the game. So it's not like they're being total assholes. They're just trying shit out, and sometimes it just doesn't work. You know?
What does Pikaruno want to say about this?
Well, I was going to say... with all the avenues that you've got to contact the dev team, I think people feel they have a massive sense of entitlement in how the game should go. So yeah, you will get loads of whiners. You will get loads of people telling Blizzard exactly how the game should work, just because, you know, Blizzard are trying to reach out to the community. So that's kind of their curse, really.
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking. Yes.
All right. I don't know how we got onto the PvP tangent when Pikaruno says he doesn't even play PvP, but oh well, we gotta acknowledge both sides of the game. But all right, Rice Princess, are you just going to sit on for the rest of the show, or are we saying bye to you, or what?
I don't care. Whatever you want.
All right.
Hang out with us.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So,
sorry, I totally like intruded on your show.
That's all right.
It wasn't me that texted you.
Let me ask this, since you're you are on the phone, before I go back to Pikaruno, who I want to ask about, like, not his week in Azeroth, but a week in Azeroth, I guess. Let me ask you real quick about this. I saw something on the Facebook, which if you're not following Horde House on Facebook, you should. It's facebook.com/Horde House. And Rice Princess, you put something on there, Irene, whatever you're called. You put something on there that's like a vlog?
Yes.
What is this?
Well, a vlog is a video blog that you post on the internet.
What is this specific vlog that you've posted?
Oh, you didn't watch it?
This is why I'm going to hang up on you.
Awkward!
It was just Exifer and I going to an electronics store, a local electronics store, and just fucking around.
I see. So
yeah, did you see me playing the video game?
I did. Why should the list? I saw the really awkward looking guy that was kind of looking at you, knowing how to use a PlayStation Move, and that cracked me up. So why should our listeners be running immediately to Facebook to check out this video?
They probably shouldn't. That would be kind of sad if they did that. Like, I've got to drop everything now. What? I'm in neonatal care? Fuck that. I've got to go and watch something on Facebook. No,
actually, I'm watching it right now.
Well, that's nice. Okay, because you're not, like, at work or anything. But, no, it's not really, like, riveting footage or anything. It's just, I don't know, people request the weirdest things. Like, the original reason why I posted the first vlogs was because someone was like, you know, Christopher and I were like, oh, we're going to go shopping tomorrow. And they're like, oh my gosh, record it, make it a vlog. And it was like, oh, okay. And they like loved it. So I don't know. Just thought I'd put another one up.
Yeah. Remind me not to have Rice Princess go on other podcasts to promote Horde House because it'll be something like this. Well, you know, it's just some show. Like, it's just these two guys. Don't bother wasting your time. I mean, if you're, like, really bored, you can go check it out. But I don't...
Well, gosh, Rob, I wouldn't want to lie.
Half of them don't even play WoW anymore, so I don't... Whatever.
Half of them. That's great.
Irene, where did you post that at?
Where did I what?
Where'd you post it at? Because I don't see it.
Oh, I posted it on the Horde House Facebook. You know, oh, the show that you're a part of.
So one that I don't ever go to.
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. All right. I can't even. All right, look, let's go back to Peeker Uno and talk to him a little bit. First off, I apologize for all these other shenanigans going on tonight. Tell us about, since usually we do a segment here on the show, how was your week in Azeroth, but you're on a hiatus because of your move. What would a week in Azeroth have looked like for you in the past?
Well, hold your horses, because I have, in fact, been playing WoW. On Drendon, no less.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got a starter account on Drendon, and I've basically been leveling an undead rogue.
I see. So you have signed up for the official... Well, on a trial account, you can't really be in a guild, huh?
No, that's the only problem, so, yeah.
And if you didn't already know, guys, the official Horde House guild is on Drendon. It's the best little Horde House, and we're in the guild finder. And believe it or not, I do check it probably once or twice a week to see if anybody is signed up, and I try to get them invites if they're on. But so you're there, Peeker Uno. You just can't really play in the guild because it's a trial account.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been having fun trying out Rogue because I've never played a Rogue before, never been undead before. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, when I first started playing WoW, I did want to try out every single class and every single race at least once. So I'm slowly getting there. But no, it's pretty cool. It's interesting to see how they've woven in the Worgen into the zone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've had a lot of experience with the environment on the server, but have you noticed anything that strikes you as different about playing on the US servers versus the UK?
Well, I've only actually seen like two other players so far, mainly because of when I play. So I can't really comment on that.
Oh, that's true, because you are 8 hours ahead, so that'll do it.
Yeah. But no, another thing I've been playing, if you don't mind me going on a slight tangent,
sure,
is Order and Chaos on the iPad.
Oh, yeah, the whole little WoW knockoff game by Gameloft, right?
Yes, knockoff is certainly a word you can use. it's basically WoW on the iPad, but done actually pretty well. I mean, the controls are really good. The writing is surprisingly legible. It's in English and everything. It's pretty cool.
I couldn't really get into it because I'm on an iPhone, and like controlling on the iPhone, my fat thumb takes up like a quarter of the screen, so it doesn't really work for me. But on the iPad, it's tolerable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, on the iPad it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, you know how it is: left finger for movement, right finger for camera. Mm-hmm. You know, it works really well. But yeah, like you said, you probably do need the biggest screen on the iPad to make it work properly.
Most of the games on the iPhone, I find, would probably be a lot better on the iPad. Like, I know you're a listener of OLR, so you probably are familiar with Juke Beat, which just came out.
Of course.
Which just came out on the iOS this week. And that's another one of those games that, like, playing it on the iPhone sucks because, again, my fat finger takes up so much space, I can't see the notes that are coming up. But
Ryan,
on an iPad,
yeah, you do have a fat finger. That's true.
Shut up.
She gets that looked at.
But at least on the iPhone, there is a setting where you can, you know, where like you press one square and it actually presses the four around it. So,
but my thumb is so fat, I can actually press 9 squares at a time with that setting. It's pretty awesome.
Your thumb is so fat, you should have it get the gastric bypass surgery. Okay, and then stop. Your farts will stink even worse, and all of those side effects that happen with them.
Okay, since apparently bypass. I'm the only one on this four-person Warcraft show right now who's actually playing. Oh, wait, no, I take that back, because Picaruno at least is doing the trial account right now. Let me talk about my week in Azeroth real quick and what I've been doing.
I have something to share about my week in Azeroth. But
can I do you next?
Go ahead and talk, okay. And I'll mute you.
Okay, that's fine. So this week in WoW, I did some more raiding, and my guild took down Nefarian, which was really exciting. We had to pretty much spend an entire night to learn that fight, but it was very rewarding once we were able to down that boss. And what was especially awesome is that he dropped a helm that is only usable by paladins, priests, and warlocks, because it's one of the tier helms. Well, the awesome thing is, there's no priests in our raid, there's no warlocks in our raid, and I'm the only paladin in the raid. So guess who got the helm? Woohoo!
Yay. Must have been somebody else.
No, it was me. And, of course, everybody else was very jealous of my beauty for winning the helm, but no, everybody was really supportive, so it was cool. And then we went to Bastion of Twilight on Wednesday, and we got all the way to Cho'Gall, which meant we took out Captain Planet Boss, as everybody calls the Ascendant Council, because it's the Earth, Fire, Blizzard, and Air thing that come together at the very end of the fight to form like the Uber Captain Planet-ish guy that you just basically have to burn. We were able to get that pretty quick, and then we got to the Cho'Gall fight, which was weird. We weren't able to down Cho'Gall, but we only really got like two pulls in. So we're going to try to get back in there on Monday and hopefully get both the raids cleared, which would oddly leave us with only Throne of the Four Winds is the only raid we haven't beat yet.
Cho'Gall's easier than Alakir or Nefarian.
Yeah, most people have said that Nefarian's the hardest fight. So if we can get that, yeah, we can pretty much get all the others. So it did take us an entire night to get Nef, but I thought that fight was really good. Like, the more I'm able to finally play these fights now that, you know, people are able to kind of get the raiding gear easier and get into the raiding in the first place, I'm really enjoying some of the fights, actually. Like, I don't think the Magma fight or even the Omnitron fight really shows off. Even the Halfus fight. Like, God, now that I'm thinking about it, all the first bosses in these raids are kind of janky compared to the later bosses. Like Chimeron and Nefarian and Atromedes is a great fight, too. Like, it's a bummer that the entry fights are so kind of janky. I don't know. I guess Omnitron's okay. It's a better council fight than Ascendant Council. I didn't like Ascendant Council at all. It was weird. So. Mm-hmm. But that was that. I was pretty much raiding, doing a little bit of PvP. I try to get at least a daily battleground done so I can kind of save up on some honor and file away some conquest points, even though it takes forever to get conquest points that way. You might as well just do arena. But all the PvPers I know quit WoW, so I don't really have anyone to PvP with except maybe Salacious Pop. Been trying to craft people weapons and working on my warlock, who's now 49. Since, as I said before, okay. Shut up. As I said before, we don't really have any raiding warlocks right now. We have another warlock in the guild, but he doesn't really get. All right, God. Such an asshole. Mm-hmm. That was me during your AT&T story, okay? All right.
It's funny. I heard you talking the whole time, so.
Extifer, how was your week not in Azeroth?
I went over to my brother-in-law's, Flacco Jones. And he showed me the World of Warcraft level in Little Big Planet. So we did Warsong Gulch, the Little Big Planet version. And it was so stupid, but it was fun.
I haven't seen that.
Tell me about it.
Is this Little Big Planet 1 or 2?
2.
Ah.
So somebody had recreated. It's really kind of lame, but it's silly fun. Like, basically, you start out as Horde, and you're like on one side of the level, and there's a bunch of fighters with you, and they're all like saying things about the alliance, like, you know, we're going to pwn those noobs and stuff like that, you know, and then you get over to the Alliance side and you have to take their flag and then take it all the way back to your side. And then you have to do some silly little thing to finish the level. But it's really well done for what it is. There's also a Mortal Kombat level, which is like hilarious because it's the lamest thing ever. You have to push your player off a cliff and then it says fatality. And that's all it does. And it's playing that a really horrible version of the Mortal Kombat song. It's like Mortal Kombat. Yeah, whatever. But anyways, that was my week in Azeroth.
I love the little tribute things in Little Big Planet. My favorite thing, I know this isn't WoW related, but I have to say my favorite level I ever played in Little Big Planet 1. I never bought the sequel. I'm so weird. I'm waiting for it to come down in price. But Little Big Planet 1, my favorite level I ever played was the Parker Posey tribute level. And
what?
It was the Parker Posey tribute level.
What?
You know Parker Posey from Party Girl?
No. Oh, you know what? I think someone showed that to me.
Pika Uno, don't you know who Parker Posey is?
No.
She's an actress. She was in Scream 3. What else was she in?
She's in a lot of indie movies.
She's in a lot of indie movies, but she's in some mainstream stuff, too.
She was in Superman.
Was in Superman. She was the reporter, right? She wasn't Lois Lane, but she was like...
She was the girl with the dog.
Okay, wait. Like best dog. Movie ever that she was in. Josie and the Pussycats. She played the villainess in Josie and the Pussycats.
I'm just going to be very quiet.
Yeah, don't you remember Josie and the Pussycats?
Wait,
isn't that your favorite movie?
Salacious Pop knows a really good movie with Parker Posey.
Parker Posey is also in all of the Christopher Guest ad-libbed movies, like Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show. She was in those.
And A Mighty Wind.
Yep.
Well, anyhow, not to make this the Parker Posey tribute show, but there's a level in Little Big Planet where you unlock all these Parker Posey stickers, and it's just, I don't know, it talks about, and I just thought it was hilarious. Whatever.
You're so great, Rob. There's a few levels that are really cool in that, like they're called like the hardest level ever or whatever, and it just is there to punish you. Like you'll be running along and suddenly a spike will come out and kill you. And so you have to remember where that spike is and dodge it. And then you get to the next thing and you just get killed like the whole time. And it's kind of funny.
Kind of like those Mario levels where like there are hidden blocks everywhere.
Yeah.
So I love those.
Me too. They're fun.
All right. Let's go to Extifer with the news.
Extifer with the noose?
The news.
What are you trying to say, Rob? I'm not that kind of person. I like autoerotic asphyxiation, but... Okay, you didn't bring me a show roll this week, so now I have to go to my sent mail, because I don't save what I send you.
Yeah, this is all my fault. You've only known that the news has been coming up for about 45 minutes now.
Oh, whatever. I've been playing Zuma, so... Yes, again, I play Zuma, so
but that's,
anyways.
Have you been playing your Google games? Google positive has games now.
Really?
Yeah. They don't
Google
have Zuma, though.
Google HIV positive. So Blizzard basically teased... This is the only thing in the news, by the way, because there wasn't anything really notable except for hot fixes with the possibility of 4.3 coming on the PTR pretty soon, so we don't know when that's going to happen. But Blizzard teased everybody with a new screenshot with ethereal NPCs in... what appears to be Stormwind, or at least a Stormwind-type building. And these two NPCs are called the Void Storage and another one called Transmogrifier. I don't know how to say that.
Transmogrifier.
Oh, my God. Say that again.
Transmogrifier.
Oh, my God. I swear I just came all over myself.
He did say it a little sexier the second time.
You did.
Did you see that?
Transmogrifier.
Is that... Wow. Is that like a common word over there? You just said it like right off the bat. It's like, I know what that is. It's transmogrifier.
No, it's just, you know, here in the UK, we just learn English in schools, so.
Oh, you're so funny. But in America, we do it stupid. So I wouldn't know.
Don't worry. It's a dying art here.
Yeah. Oh, it is. So anyways, a void storage and a transmogrifier. Basically, this is hinting that we'll get maybe an extra storage thing of some kind. I'm not sure what that's all about. But the transmogrifier is more about like maybe changing your character's appearance.
I'm sorry,
maybe.
But I love how Extrovert has the need to now say that word with a British accent. Like he has to live up to Peter Uno's erotic transmogrifier.
He transmogrified me.
It's because he doesn't know how to say it in American.
Yeah, transmogrifier. Like...
Transmogrifier.
Transmogrifier.
There you go.
Transmogrifier. I don't know.
Fix my damn transmogrifier.
Yeah, fix my damn internet, Comcast. Transmogrifier.
I'm so confused.
Anyways. So it's a... maybe a possible hint that this is coming in 4.3 or maybe the next expansion. My guess would be it'd be in 4.3 because they already said that the patch is going to be as big, if not bigger, than Cataclysm. So, you know, I'm sure that they're going to add a lot of stuff. So we'll see.
This strikes me as a patch type of tease too, not really an expansion tease. An expansion tease would be showing us like a new zone picture or, you know, I guess since it's supposed to be all about panda people, we'd see like fields of bamboo or something.
Plus, so wouldn't like... they... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Plus, wouldn't they like save the new expansions for BlizzCon?
They would. I don't know. It seems kind of fishy that they would come out with a screenshot and call it Glimpses. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like they've never really teased a patch like that before in my mind. I can't remember if they have or not, but I don't know.
With this whole more frequent, smaller patches thing, you know, we had the news on 4.2 like right away, like literally the day after 4.1 came out. But this time we haven't really heard anything on 4.3 yet, which seems a little weird at this point because it came so fast last time. Now, this would be normal before the whole more frequent smaller patches gate of earlier this year, but you know, I think it's a patch. I think this is a patch tease. This is the first little bit of information. We'll probably have more in the next couple weeks, but I really hope it is some type of either sending things to other servers, which I think is, you know, one of the ideas about what the void bank could be.
That's possibly it.
I would love void that storage, be able to send heirlooms over to Drendon. I would be so happy. Oh my gosh.
I think you're probably right on that one, actually. Oh, that makes more sense than more storage because we have our bank.
Yeah, you don't need more storage. Yeah. It's either going to be what I just said. It's going to be a way for you to send shit to other servers because the current mail system isn't able to do that. Keep in mind they took away the key rings because they wanted that storage space for something. Mm-hmm. And I think now you're seeing what it's turning into. So it's either going to be that, a very small bank that you could access cross-server, which is kind of what I hope it is. Or it might be kind of the – you know how people have been really bitching about, we need a place to hold an entire set of tier gear so that I don't have to delete it. Mm-hmm. Or I need a tabard rack. Or it could be that type of consolidated storage.
You know what? I think it sounds like void storage. It sounds more like – you know, you're putting things in space or something where, like, you know, your other characters can get them from other servers, get their items from other servers, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you know how, like in the real world, we have, like, cloud storage. Mm-hmm. The WoW equivalent might be void storage, like you said.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can
I just say this? Sorry. The Ethereals are kind of like a greedy race. They're kind of like goblins where it's all about money, money. So it could be something where you have to pay to put things in this storage. And actually, from what I remember, Final Fantasy XI has a system very similar to this where you could get a bigger bank spot, but you had to like pay money to get things out of it. It's like a pawn shop almost. So, all right.
Do you think they would actually make us pay real money on that deal, or would it be gold?
God, I hope it's gold.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, Activision, so...
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, I want to know, though, what is your take on what the – Peter Uno, I'm talking to you. What is your take on what the transmogrifier – what's that going to be?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'd guess it's probably something to do with items rather than physical appearance. I don't know, because I mean they've already got an interface for, like the merchant's interface. That's for items. If you go to somewhere like the barber shop, that's like you click on the chair, you don't click on an NPC. So I'm going to guess it's something more to do with items than
Well, I thought maybe it was your armor, like changing color of your armor, maybe, or because that people have been wanting that like forever. So I don't know. I mean, would
but
that
I know
help?
transmogrifier seems to suggest it's more than just changing color.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Changing the appearance of your items, maybe.
Like, could I run around naked, but I would still
Or
have all the
no.
stats for my items?
Or how about you get a drop from like a dungeon. It's like a chest piece, and then you visit the transmogrifier, who turns it into either a DPS piece, or a tanking piece, or a healing piece.
That might be where they're going. But then we have. Oh, there was a third NPC on that,
I
right? It
like
was the
that
arc.
idea, but I don't know if I like the whole homogenization of items, what that would turn into. It's kind of, I don't know.
By the way, there was a third piece, the NPC, which was the arcane. What was it? Arcane
Reforger.
Reforger. So we don't know what that's all about, too. It just sounds kind of like, what are they going to do with that? We already have reforging. What is arcane reforging?
Reforge your spells?
Really? You think
Maybe, I
so?
don't know, just kind of what?
How would you reforge your spells? Or maybe you would change. Maybe it's finally a way to augment the way that your spells look. Like, because you
Ooh.
know how people want to change the color. Like,
Oh
warlocks want
yeah,
all their spells
are
green.
those, well, warlocks have the lady pets coming.
That's
Maybe
true.
it's something to do with that.
Maybe.
Or the manubus.
The incubus.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
The
manubus.
manubus.
That's a fantastic name.
I like it better than incubus.
Who better be a blood elf? That's all I'm saying.
Picoruno, can you be my manubus?
Yeah, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Oh, he
I've
did
got a
say
waiting
yeah
list.
at the
Well,
beginning.
I've got a huge waiting list at the
You have a
moment,
waiting.
I'm sure that's not all they've
Why don't
done.
you transmurder your waiting list? And yeah, that sounded better in my head.
So can we speak in British accents and then have Picaruno speak in an American one?
Sure, you start.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I love it
This
when Rob
is
laughs.
my least favorite part of Horde House when Rob tries to do his English accent.
Oh yeah, do your English accent, Rob.
I'm not going to do my English accent because you're all going to make fun of
Oh.
it. I'm just going to go and have some tea and crumpets.
Oh, fucking hell.
I like that with your accent, you have to do like stereotypical British things too. Like,
just comes with the territory.
Jolly old folk
Right.
in the magical land of England. I don't know. So wait, we didn't hear your American accent.
No, I don't have an American accent.
Good answer. Don't be
I
bullied
remember
by them, Pigruno. Don't
there was a girl in one of my classes when I was growing up, and her name, I don't remember her name, but she was from England, and I remember like trying to get her to say the word can't, CANT, can't. And I
Can't.
was Yeah, and you say "quant."
Oh my God, it sounds like cunt.
It
I
does.
can't
No,
stand
it's
you. Oh
not.
my
Look, look, look,
God.
look, look, look. Cannot is can't. Okay, the insult which you're thinking about is cunt. There's a big difference. Come on.
"Cont"
But it
and
sounds similar.
"cunt." Yeah.
Can't and cunt.
You just
Wait,
said
what
the
was
same
the
thing twice.
difference?
So this
Really?
girl,
Has that what the,
like,
is this what this show's turned into now? Is, fun with accents?
I was just
Yep.
like, "Can't you just say it in an American accent?" And she was like, "No, I can't say can't." I was like, British people.
Well,
They're
I don't
so
know, because
bad.
people up in the north say can't
Oh,
or
really?
something similar to that. I can't do a northern accent, but they do tend to, say things like that. Those crazy northern
All
people.
right.
Oh,
How
oh
about
dear.
if Exifer's done with the news, since we're playing with accents, can we get to the emails and tweets this week?
No.
Right? Every week you guys tweet us at twitter.com/hordehouse and we read your tweets. So let's get to the tweets first tonight. And we'll start with a tweet from, oh my God, it's Peeker Uno tweeting us tonight. Saying,
holy crap.
In the live blog that he wrote last week, he did address last week's topic of the week, and I'd like to read these. And the topic of the week is how could Blizzard get 1 million people back into WoW? Because, you know, they lost 600,000 earlier in the year and then another 300,000. Picaruno said, topic of the week, I think it's more a case of it's not you, it's me. Or maybe make a console game that interfaces with the main MMO, which is what I hope Mists of Pandaria is. But
right, exactly, yeah.
The more I'm hearing people's theories, because, you know, it's no secret, I listen to other WoW shows and so forth, the more I'm hearing other people's theories on Mists of Pandaria, the more I'm getting okay with it. I like the idea that it could be an adventure into the unknown.
Yeah, but remember, like, you don't like, start believing your own stories, because then you're going to set yourself up for, like, you know, just a disappointment.
No, I think at this point, Blizzard coming out of left field and saying it's something that has nothing to do with Mists of Pandaria would not be disappointing at all, actually. Mm. I don't know. Like, if the Pandaren are coming to WoW, like, I'm totally fine with that. I just hope they're NPCs. That's all.
I think they would be, though.
I hope
I don't
so.
Think they will let you play them.
How
I don't
could
know.
They be a playable race, though? They're neutral.
That,
like,
yeah. And
there's no like bad
there could
or
be
good
a...
factions of Pandarens. They're just they're not like the goblins. They're just completely neutral.
And well, I'm they hoping they stay that them. Way. But, you know, Blizzard will do whatever they want in the lore to make it happen if they want it to. You know what I mean? But
I was going to say it would be nice to have a real genuine surprise this BlizzCon.
Yeah, it would be.
Unlike when Cataclysm was announced, when they basically said, yep, everything you heard, well, here it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard for Blizzard to keep secrets anymore, because people are always, like, finding out this stuff from them, like, stuff that they try to keep secret, you know, but they have to do certain things to kind of initiate whatever they're going to try to do, and it's like, well, how do you keep a secret like that if you have crazy people who are like hacking into stuff or data mining or whatever, you know? So it's, I don't know, it's,
yeah, I don't envy them. I mean, you know, on Orange Lounge Radio every year, E3 information gets leaked all the time, you know, and companies really try to protect that information leading up to their big reveal. And BlizzCon is basically Blizzard's E3, because they can trick you into paying to come to them as opposed to them paying to rent a booth at a convention, you know? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's their way of keeping secrets. But yeah, if you don't want to get spoiled, you're really going to have to just stay off the internet 2 weeks before, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, which means you wouldn't listen to our show, Rob. Why would you promote that?
Sorry, I was possessed by Irene for a minute. All right, going to another tweet from Peeker Uno, because I thought this one was funny. At 1 hour, 16 minutes, 10 seconds, my mum doesn't know what WoW is. She calls it that thing where you look at a cow's swinging tail from behind.
Yes, except she calls it that in Italian, because my mum's Italian. So, yeah. she always catches me when I'm playing my Tauren Warrior, and that's the only thing she ever sees on the screen.
I was going to say your behind. Druid must be a Tauren, but okay, you have a Tauren warrior that you run around with, and so it's like you're looking at a cow's ass all day.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's the only thing she ever mentions, the fact that the tail is swinging from side to side. I don't know if she thinks it is the game, the entire game is like a tail swinging simulator or something like that.
Although it'd be kind of awesome if it was.
That would be. Yeah.
All right.
And plus, explaining to her the concept of raiding was a bit tough. It's like, you know, she always says, oh, get off that computer, you're always so antisocial. And I'm saying, actually, I'm playing with like 10 people here. You know, it's, I don't know.
Wait, so you're all being antisocial together?
Yeah, it's strange concepts. Strange concepts, I think, for her.
All right. Moving on to some more tweets. Essex tweets us saying, I think a lot of people have left for League of Legends. It's what I play now, and a lot of the guys I used to raid with do too. I haven't heard of a lot of people leaving for League of Legends. I know that game's very popular because it's free, but I think the second half of your statement kind of gives away why it seems like everybody went there, because that's where all your friends went to. I mean, I really don't have interest in this upcoming Star Wars MMO or whatever, but I have a feeling a lot of my friends are going to go play it. So I'm probably going to have to play it on principle. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but that's what happens whenever, you know, a new MMO is released. People try it. Of course they will. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I've never even heard of it. What's this game?
League of Legends. It's okay. Do you know Defense of the Ancients?
Yeah.
It's kind of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a break off of that game, for lack of better explanation.
Yeah. Mm. It's pretty fun, but from what I remember, they've only got like 2 maps on it.
Hmm. Yeah, it really depends too. Like, if you pay for it, I think you get more characters and so forth. But they do have a free to play version, so there you go.
Gotcha.
Anyhow, and I want to say, actually, leaving one game for another, that's kind of how I got on Warcraft in some ways. I mean, eventually, my Link Shell and Final Fantasy XI kind of all gave up that game for WoW. So that's part of what brought me to Warcraft in the first place. So I think inevitably we kind of tend to go to where our friends are. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Going to a tweet from Lugtonix, tweets us saying, how to get the 1 million back. I would lower sub cost to $12.95 a month, then prep lots of update content to drop every 5 weeks. See, every 5 weeks, though, I think might be too much, because I'm actually not a fan of the more frequent smaller patches if the smaller patches really aren't bringing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that I didn't ever mind really the patch cycle that they had, as long as their patches had enough to keep you going, you know, and their raid content was enough, you know. Like, I think they're by saying that they were going to have smaller and more frequent patches, like, they're trying to, you know, counter the whole thing that they did last year where they brought out, what was it, TOC, or 2 years ago or whatever, TOC, and it was like really horrible raid content, and everybody got mad at them, and yet it was a smaller patch, but they wanted to make things more engaging, and you just can't make things more engaging in a small amount of time, I don't think. So, anyway.
All right. Let's see. Moving to another tweet from Torment, tweeted us last week saying, just wanted you guys to know the guild hit level 3. That's the Drendan Guild. Yay.
Grats.
Hey, grats. I think more people have been getting to 85 over there, so they're able to move up the experience bar faster. So, grats.
Gratty tabbies.
Grats indeed.
Flacco Jones tweets us saying, the only way Blizz gets all those players back is if they dumb down WoW like they did in Wrath.
That's true.
Unfortunately.
Irene?
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that the content is really difficult or hard for people to grasp. It's kind of the same stuff. I don't think there needs to be any kind of dumbing down or making the content easier for anybody to want to come back.
I think it's maybe less a case of dumbing down and making more accessible. And I think 4.2 did that by giving us another raid tier. I think tier 11 is very accessible now. By, you know, if your group is doing heroics, you can do tier 11. If you have 10 people geared for heroics, you can do tier 11 right now. It's not that hard. You know, so I think it's, again, the biggest mistake that was made in Cataclysm was that raiding was not very accessible for 6 months, unless your guild was hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think what he means is that when Cataclysm first came out, you know, like, a lot of people were so used to Wrath. And when it changed so drastically, like, that's why obviously they've lost a lot of people, is that I think that a lot of people are used to the way Wrath was. And so because it's now, it might be getting back to the way it was, because they did nerf a lot of the content from tier 11, and it's making tier 12 more accessible and everything, but it might be too late.
Yeah, the damage has been done. I get it.
Yeah. So they need to, I don't know, without going out off on a limb and saying, hey, we're easy now, because, you know, obviously that would rile a bunch of people up. They should say, you know, stuff like more accessible than ever.
Well, they do in their advertisement. One of the ones that I've seen on a site says puggable raids, like advertisements for patch 4.2, and trying to get people back, I guess, so to speak.
Gotcha.
Kind of as a follow-up to this, we have Kidman Project, who tweeted to Flacco Jones, as well as us, speaking about, I guess, Wrath versus Now. Never thought I'd say it, but they were happier, simpler times, at least for my guild that crumbled last week.
Aww.
Sad. All right.
Poor baby.
No, I think it legitimately is sad. I don't like hearing about guilds that fall apart.
I'm just kidding. I just thought I would shake things up a little bit.
Let's go into a tweet from Phantomus, tweets us saying, "So, Rob, do you ever PvP with your holy paladin?" "I do. I'm not very good at it, but I do. If so, do you spend more time healing others or yourself? Zomg kill heals." I actually find that I don't usually get found out as quickly as like a priest does. Or a druid that shifts into tree form, I can usually last just a little bit longer not getting discovered. But the second I pop the flash of healing or cone of healing, whatever it's called, they'll come after me. But I usually will heal other people. I kind of try to hang back and heal the people that have run up to the front lines, which is, you know, how you should do it. But keep in mind, I like to play a lot of 40-man battlegrounds, which Irene doesn't understand why I like to do that. But I think as a healer, there's a lot of rewards for me in that. But in arena, it's hard because the game is more about, yeah, it is healing myself in arena, because they will figure out I'm the healer very damn quick and start coming after me. And the way you have to play arena is much more about survivability as opposed to just heal everything and everybody, you know. So.
Well, mm-hmm. I've healed 40-man battlegrounds, and it's just too much. There's just too much to focus on. I can't heal everyone, and like everyone needs healing. And I would rather have a little bit more of an intimate setting where there's like 10 people, or even just like 5 people guarding the base, or 5 people going, oh, you know, that I can focus on healing. It's just, mm-hmm. I feel like I have ADHD if I try to heal in a 40-man raid. So
I have a problem when I, like in Alterac Valley, when I go, most notably if I'm healing in that battleground, if we go to like what Belinda or the alliance equivalent to Belinda, I have a problem figuring out who is going to be the main tank, and by the time I figure it out, they're like almost dead and I have all these other people getting ganked and everything. It's like Irene said, it's harder to focus on who needs the heals the most, you know, like
type/focus on the boss and then target their target.
Well, I guess you can do that, but I mean, it's just a lot of things go faster in that setting, and it's just harder to. I like the more controlled environment of PvE than PvP in that respect. But I do enjoy healing, though, regardless in PvP. So, I mean, I probably enjoy it more than Irene in that sense doing the 40-man battlegrounds. Like I can enjoy it, but it's just more complicated.
Let me ask your opinion on this battleground real quick, Irene. Not to deviate too much here, but I was kind of thinking about it this week. Like, you know, I really do like the 40-mans, and why do I like it? Because there's so much kind of going on, and there's so much like you know, different mechanics that get put into it. And I really like how in Isle of Conquest, you know, being able to like fling yourself into the base and all this stuff. And I was thinking, you know, if Blizzard were to do a new battleground, I would like to see something that's like a 15 to 20 man version of like Isle of Conquest. And then I was thinking, well, that's kind of what Strand of the Ancients is. And Strand of the Ancients, I don't know. It's like nobody really seems to like Strand of the Ancients. Like, what are your thoughts on that one, Irene?
The thing about PvP is that when you get into like the larger sized ones, they become more objective oriented as opposed to PvP oriented. The objective is not to slaughter the other people. The objective is to do this particular thing. And I think that kind of leaves a bad taste in PvPers' mouths, because they want to be able to just kind of engage the other faction and just PvP against them. That's why Warsong Gulch is so popular. Yes, there's the objective of getting the flag, but in order to get that flag, you really have to fight against the other team. I mean, there's no other objective. That's all you got to do. It's straightforward. It's simple. It's just based on your ability.
That's actually a really good way of putting it, because I think when you put it that way, it kind of makes me realize I really like the battlegrounds that are objective based. And is that because maybe I'm just a PvE-er at heart?
It's entirely possible. I think that's why they created those kinds of PvP battlegrounds for the people who don't necessarily like to PvP, you know, but want to try it out or whatever. I don't know.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way, but I think you're right. I think I really like the objective ones. But I don't. Strand is okay. Like, I like that one. There's I don't know, sometimes I'll think, gosh, this battleground's really underrated, and then sometimes I'll think, God, I hate this battleground. Just because it seems to go by so quick sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. It just seems like there's nothing you can do about the vehicles sometimes. Vehicles are overpowered and so forth, and I can see why PvPers that are really all about the player versus player really resent some of the vehicle combat. Mm-hmm. To me, it can kind of be fun, but yeah, Strand's a weird one.
Yeah, it just really depends on what kind of content you like in the game. And if you're not particularly a fan of objective-based stuff, content, then, you know, I can see why you might not like it.
One thing I'm really realizing, though, I really miss Winter Grasp.
Me too. Winter Grasp was so fun. That was such a good blending of, like, objective-based PvP and, you know, one-on-one straightforward PvP, I thought. I don't know. That's one that I really did like.
Picaruno, I know you're not big on PvP, but a lot of PvE players dabbled in Wintergrasp to get the raid boss there. Did you ever do any Wintergrasp?
I did indeed, and I did actually quite enjoy it, even in the you know, the good old days when it used to take Yes. I did do Wintergrasp a couple of times. My problem with PvP is when it's not organized. Like, you know, Winter Grasp is a huge zone. If you've got people running left, right, and center without any kind of coordination, I don't know. It's just too much, I suppose.
Yeah.
And like with what Irene was saying, you know, trying to heal 40 people, it's just too much. If there was someone who like took charge and said, okay, you're going in like group one, you're going in group two, you know, you're healing just these people, then I think I'd enjoy it a lot better. Basically, if they were organized more like raids.
And you know, there's always a problem with that because there is usually someone that's like, okay, let's do this plan. But nobody wants to listen to that person because they're like, well, who the fuck are you? Why are you trying to tell us what to do? I'm going to go and do whatever I want to do. I joined this to do, you know, my certain thing. So
I get that. It's impossible to coordinate 40 people. It really is.
Yeah.
In a PvP setting.
Yeah, in a PvP setting, yeah.
But that's the thing. It's kind of, you know, these PvP battlegrounds, they are a team game, really. So it's kind of weird that some people choose to just do their own stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's also what complicates the battlegrounds that allow for more people. There are just so many objectives. There's too much for people to focus on as well. So people go off and do their own thing.
It is, like, it is really hard to explain Isle of Conquest to somebody who's never done it before. You mm-hmm. really have to be like, you just kind of have to go in and just watch.
Like, you just, like, follow everyone, do what they're doing, you know, but look at like Alterac Valley. I mean, you have so much that you can do in there. And there are people who go and, like, do the quests and stuff, and they're not necessarily contributing to, you know, the good of the whole game. You know, they're just off doing their own thing. And I think that really just complicates it too much. You know, it's not really truly PvP, you know, one faction against another in the truest sense. You know, because people have that liberty to do whatever they want. Whereas in like something like Gulch, you can just strictly fight against other people, or you can do the capture the flag. But those are really kind of your only two options. You can't go off, you know, foraging for items. You can't go off doing like quests or anything like that. Those are, you're stuck doing those two things. Hmm. So
Zuma is so much fun right now.
I'm liking the PvP discussion. We don't get enough of the discussion. Uh-huh. So. All right. Look, let me move on. More tweets. All right. Clearly, Extrovert is ready for some more tweets.
What?
Salacious Pop tweets us with a couple of tweets here. I like PvP and all, but until Blizz stops nerfing PvE mechanics because of PvP balance problems, that will continue to happen because Blizz won't implement wholly separate dynamic ability mechanics between the two. Hardcore PvPers can S my D.
What does he mean by that?
I think it's suck my dick, but that's just a guess.
Oh my god, say that again. No, wait. I need to find a way to record it too. So hold on.
You need to find a way to record.
I need to find a way to record.
No, like, I need to immediately. Whatever. You know what? You can go S-M-D is what I want to say about that.
Wait, what does that mean, Christopher?
I think it means suck my dick.
Oh my God, say it again. Wait, I have to record.
Oh, let me make sure I'm recording.
Oh my God. Hey, why don't you guys make sure you're recording?
It'd be really funny if I hadn't been recording this entire show. All right. Anyhow. So going back to Salacious Pop's tweet, which wasn't just about SMD, it was about, a little bit of resentment towards PvP because of how it holds back the PvE game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think the problem is you know, PvE is say, oh, PvP is ruining the game. PvP is say, oh, PvE is ruining the game. I don't know. I mean, when the game first came out, like version one, would you agree in saying it was more PvE than PvP? As in, like, World of Warcraft was made as a PvE game and then had PvP tacked on? Or would you say that both aspects of the game were central to the concept?
I would honestly...
The former.
I would say both were central to the concept, because Warcraft, at the end of the day, is orcs versus humans or Horde versus Alliance. And I think the game, despite the some may argue the lore has gotten far past the Alliance versus the Horde, I think at the end of the day, that's why PvP servers existed in the first place, was to have that environment of always Horde versus Alliance.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't mean the game was designed well with both in mind, but to be fair to Blizzard... Nobody's done it well, really.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Blizzard has done a pretty damn good job of this territory that no one's perfected, I think. But maybe we will be able to transmogrify our characters from a PvP character to a PvE character. Go ahead.
Sorry, you can kind of do that already. And if Blizzard were to just implement a few tweaks to, like, the talent trees, they could make it so that, you know, you can have a strictly PvP character, or you can have a strictly PvE character, and not have your base spells affect either one.
Yeah, I mean, have a separate PvP talent tree, which, you know what, they're never going to do. I've given up on the hope of them ever, like, doing a separate PvP game.
Well, but... it's not even just that. What they could do, I guess, is just make sub-talent trees, like... You know, you have, like, say for a druid, you have your resto, you have your balance, you have your feral. Do sub trees of each of those and give, like, a PvP tree and give, like, a PvE tree.
I don't want to say that's what Rift does, but Rift does let you have plenty of options within a class, you know. Mm-hmm.
They don't let you do that.
No, not
but
that.
They do give you more.
But I think the problem lies with the part of the tweet here that says Blizz won't implement wholly separate dynamic ability mechanics. Well, maybe they need to think about how they can. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the end of the day, that's the problem. They need to implement somehow where you can have both coexist.
I do think that they focus too much on changing what is working as opposed to just modifying or adding to what currently exists to make, you know, things work for both, you know. I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, though, Blizz, it probably feels like Blizz focuses more on PvE. I am assuming because when they look at the numbers, they see more people are doing the PvE content than PvP. Do you think that's true?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, PvE is the more accessible game, really, I think. It's on your own terms, basically.
You don't really get the good gear and get the XP and get all the gold from PvP, so that's why people focus on the PvE. I mean, there are people that had to go through the whole PvE aspect to get the money to kind of fund their PvP excursions. So I think that PvP is secondary in WoW. I mean, it's, like, you know, really close to PvE, but it's still secondary, so...
All right. Well, let's get to the emails this week. I want to get through some of these because we still have those to go. We're already at an hour and a half almost. But I do want to say really quick regarding the contest. We didn't have time to sit down and review all the entries before tonight's show, but we're going to have that done during the week. So stay tuned to our website at hordehouse.com. So I don't have the winners tonight.
What's funny?
By the way, I don't think I can judge.
I'm thinking you might not be able to either because you had a relative enter. So I'll have Salacious Pop do it.
Okay.
Because he won't know who.
Let's have Mr. Uno judge, or unless
he entered. So
I entered. Yeah.
So he. Can't
Although my entry's shit, so whatever.
You can make yourself the winner. It's okay.
Irene, have you seen any of the entries?
I don't know what the hell you're talking.
Okay,
about.
Maybe you'd be a good judge then too. That would be great. Just don't let anyone show you any of their artwork, and we'll have you judge the contest. Okay, you and Salacious Pop can do it.
Okay.
All right. I just got a late breaking tweet here. Like, I literally just got an email that says this person mentioned you on Twitter, and it's from our pals over at Girls Gone Wow, which I'm supposed to be on like next week, I think. So listen to Girls Gone Wow. It's a fun show. What are you laughing about over there, Irene?
Listen to Girls Gone Wow. It's a fun show.
It is a fun show.
I want to go on Girls Gone Wow.
I think they want you to come on. I'll send you the details. Maybe we can get you on there too.
Okay.
But Girls Gone Wow, and they by the way, I think all of our listeners have come from the Girls Gone Wow show, actually, because I keep getting all these tweets. Hey guys, heard about you on GGW show.
Just makes me laugh.
So. We love those guys over those girls over at Girls Gone Wow. But they do have a guy on there. They actually have a guy named Rob that's one of their co-hosts. So it's not all girls, but mostly girls. Girls Gone Wow tweets us, says, "Help me pick two other classes to raid with besides my mage. To raid with beside my mage."
Okay.
Well, I think probably the best way to do it, and I have somebody in my guild that does it this way, have one tank, one healer, one DPS. And if you really don't want to tank, because some people really don't want to tank, have a ranged DPS, like your mage, and then a melee DPS, like a rogue or a warrior. And that way you have a good mix of everything.
Right. Or
you could do two versatile classes, like a paladin and a druid. That way you can fill whatever role you need to.
Or just a druid.
Yeah, I would say...
Yeah, druids are the only, you know, they're the only class you need.
I would say paladin is the superior hybrid, but...
Ladies,
you know what?
Let's not fight over this.
Can't agree with that.
I have one of each because the paladin has the plate to do the tanking and the druids can heal. But, you know, I know...
Hey, the paladins can heal, bitch. What do you think I do in WoW?
I know they can do that too,
We tank with our bare head, okay? So...
Do you tank with your bare hands?
No, head.
I'd say things. I agree with the two classes to raid with should be a druid and a paladin. That way you never get bored.
Or just a druid.
Exactly, because paladins are boring, but oh well.
They super are, but I'm going to have to side with Rob on this one. It has to be both, because I think it's just... She needs two, okay?
Yeah, she can't have a druid and a druid. Now you guys, you guys are just being selfish.
You guys are just being me, making two. But
oh yeah, I'm surprised that's not Irene's answer. Oh, you should have a hunter and a hunter.
Hunters can heal themselves.
All right, and another tweet. I'll read this one from GGW Show real quick. If a male toon invites you to tag along to an alleyway in Stormwind, what do you do or say?
Yes, give me gold.
Like,
would be my response.
Say, where'd you get those pants? Give me some of your money.
Yes.
What are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
Be sure you're talking to them in vent so that you can sound
like I agree them. With that. Say, where'd you get those pants? That's my favorite answer.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Emails, finally. Here we go. First email tonight from Mutant Boy. By the way, if you guys want to email us, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Mutant Boy emails us this week. Hey, guys. So after doing a bit of research, I was recently made aware of Blizzard's newest fuck-up, real-world money for in-game items. Oh, here we go from last week's stuff here. Granted, this is happening in Diablo 3, which is strictly online play only, or not on WoW yet. I sent you an email once stating that I would quit playing if Blizz ever decided to go this route. Even though it is not in Warcraft, I'm thinking I am a little turned off considering they have always been opposed to this type of business. What is your opinion of the matter, and will you stop playing WoW because of this, or will you wait and see if they actually make the biggest mistake ever in the history of Warcraft and make combat items that sell for real-world coin? Mutant Boy, the extended vacation taker.
I would wait and see. I wouldn't quit WoW because of it. I wouldn't use the service, but I mean, I would quit WoW because I don't like playing the game. Is that what you were going to say?
No. I mean, you already quit. So, yeah. What I don't understand is they've kind of had microtransactions for a while. That's what pets are. I mean, I know it's not combat items, but saying that Blizzard would never implement something like that, they already have with pets. So, yeah. I mean, it's only one step further. You know?
Keep in mind, this is in Diablo 3, and they have said they're not going to do this in WoW. But also keep in mind, it is, again, it's act. Division. So
yeah, at the end of the, you know, and there's that part of the email that says they have always been opposed to this type of business, and I get where that comes from. That comes from what Extifer just said. The whole they said they don't want to do that in WoW, but there's a part of me that goes, well, who's opposed to making money?
Right, and they never said they would never do it in any other game. So it's like they've only said they wouldn't do it in WoW. They don't want people to have to be able to buy in-game items for real money, like items like your, you know,
like
that'll help you further the game.
Yeah,
equipable gear. But in a way, if they did have the real money auction house, you would be paying real money for the item. So I think that's why this guy is turned off to that. But I don't, again, think that they're going to do it in WoW. I think that WoW is nearing, you know, maybe it's definitely not, it doesn't have as many players as it used to have, and you know, we're going to be seeing the next big thing soon enough, and if they're going to implement it in a future game other than Diablo 3, it's going to be in their next MMO.
You know, I'm curious to know about this whole, all of these people unsubscribed, 1 million total, whatever. What's that? That's what, like roughly almost 10% of their subscribers?
They've gone from 12 million down to 11.1 million. So 900,000 is how many they've lost.
Yeah, I'm actually focused on the percentage because I know that they kind of experience influxes and, you know, of people unsubscribing. So because they have more players overall, it would make sense if a higher amount of people unsubscribe. It might just be like the same trend, though.
They have lost 7.5% of their listeners, or their listeners, their players. We have lost
they
seven.
Not listen.
We've lost 7.5% of our listeners thanks to this episode, but 7.5% of the players.
Well, I'm curious to know what the percentages were. Like have been in the past for, you know, the past few years. Has it been 7% or has it been less? Because I know that 1 million, you know, people unsubscribe sounds like a lot of people, but if it's the same kind of percentages as they're used to, I mean, the game has more players. There are more options for other people to choose outside of WoW, more MMOs to play and such. I mean, it's kind of understandable, and I wouldn't say it just sounds a little sensationalized when you say 1 million unsubscribed.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Yeah. I mean, what was the percentage of people that dropped off when Warhammer came out? That's what I want to know. It's because if it's more, then this isn't a lull. This is just a trend that happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, during maybe the summer or during when, you know, there are other games or other options that are going to come out and people are anticipating them. It'll
or
be
when
more
the expansion just wasn't that strong.
Yeah, that's true. But when it'll be more interesting to see when another game comes out, just to see how much of an impact, like the Old Republic.
Let me quickly. I want to quickly answer the email here because I want to bring up this point, and that was, you know, will you stop playing WoW if this happens in WoW? And my answer is, I would stop playing, and I've actually said the same thing on OLR. I would stop playing if you could gain an advantage in gear by paying for it. I'm fine with the. The not so serious like pet upgrades and, you know, mounts and all that stuff. But if the gear was for sale, I would have a problem with that because I would feel like they're double dipping me. If they're going to charge me in that department, then I shouldn't have to pay a monthly fee.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
I think WoW will go free to play someday. It's inevitable. But I think that someday is like 2015. It's going to be a year after whatever Titan is out. I mean, it's going to be a long time out. And
yeah,
I think
it's going to be when they focus on revenue from another source.
Exactly. That when WoW starts to decline because of whatever other projects take off, I think it'll go free to play and that's how they'll make their money. So, All right, let me go to some more emails here. We have a quick email from Spike emails us, and this is a response to Desdemona's emails. Remember how Desdemona was sending us those uber long emails about Death Knight portals and how it's a pain, you know? And all
I don't remember it because I fell asleep.
All right. Well, here's Spike's response. Okay, it's sad about how poor Whittle Death Knights have to travel across the world to get their free enchants, but maybe part of the class balance for Death Knights to not have to blow the thousands of gold per expansion on enchants that the rest of us spend is that they have to walk their bitch asses to Death Knight land. Except they don't even have to do that because they have a magical little portal that takes them home that does not share a cooldown with their Hearthstone. I propose that instead of giving Death Knights portable rune forges, Blizzard should just take that entire mechanic out and Death Knights can just buy enchants off other players like the rest of us. Too long didn't read version. Quit bitching about your free enchants and just deal with your super minor inconvenience. Spike.
I think that email should have run on a little bit longer.
There's going to be some hair pulling later. That's all I'm going to say.
Girl.
All right.
And not the sexy kind.
No, the Walmart parking lot kind. All right. Moving on to our last email tonight, which is from Salacious Pop. Actually, I'll skip it. All right. That's the show, everybody. Here we go. Salacious Pop emails us and says, about last week's topic, how can Blizzard get a million new customers? Sorry, but the easiest answer is probably a freemium to play model. Whether it's tuned to PvP, specifically like a League of Legends Dota model, or they get their own isolated servers where the microtransactions out the ass won't infringe too much on subscription players, it's probably the best thing they can do. Aside from that, it probably needs a major graphics overhaul, literally new everything, textures, character skeletons, particle effects, etc., to bring the PC requirements way up and then relaunch the game as a new comprehensive level 1 to 85 experience and make it so that the expansion zones, namely Outlands, don't feel so disconnected. As far as how my raiding guild is doing, we one-shotted our second 25-man Ragnaros kill after missing a week of getting him again, and we were all pretty stunned. We're also 1 of 7 heroic progression, and we're confident from our wipes last week that we'll be 2 of 7 by this time next week. Finally, I'm 3rd in line to get Dragonwreath Taragosa's. How the fuck do you say that?
Taragosa?
Yeah, whatever. Taragosa's.
How do you say it, Picaruno?
Hang on, I'm looking it up. How do you write it?
Taragosa.
Oh, Taragosa, maybe?
Yeah, Taragosa. Yeah.
Taragosa.
Hey, Rob.
What?
How do you spell it?
I-T.
Very good. You get a cookie.
I'm sorry. Continue, Rob.
I was completely stunned. I had no idea the officers had earmarked one for me so early in the patch. It's very exciting, and I'm flattered and amazed. The entire process to make one is 6 to 8 weeks, so I hope to have mine by mid-September. That's all. Salacious Pop, the Flame Breaker.
The Flame Baker.
The Flame Baker. Who still doesn't have that fucking pet. Oh, yeah, that was another thing that happened in my week. I got the pet out of the bag, the little Mark of the World tree bags that you can buy once you've done all the vendors. I got the pet on my second bag. And Slash Pop was a little bit jealous.
A little bit jealous.
You should tell him to S your D.
Whoa.
No. Okay. So that does it for emails. Well, actually, let me go back to the part about the freemium model of the game and the major graphics overhaul. That was the part I wanted to talk about specifically. I'm actually not so sure that they need to do a major graphics overhaul. I mean, I get that, but I think part of the charm of WoW and how they keep so many people is that the PC requirements are relatively low. And yep. I think it would alienate more people than you think to raise those requirements.
Yeah, I mean, look at all of the MMOs that come out now. that require like 30 gigs of free space. You know, they look beautiful, but nobody wants to wait that long to play it. Nobody wants to have to upgrade their systems to play it. It's just too much of an investment. So I agree with you, Rob.
I think there's room to update the graphics and yet keep things working on the older systems. And I would say the new water effects is a good example of that. I mean, that is something relatively recent. And I think they could keep doing things like that. There's no reason why we couldn't have like higher resolution textures and things like that for those that have the higher end PCs, but it has to coexist with what exists for the lower ends right now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yes, exactly. You're going to alienate even more people, I think.
Exactly. You want the widest player base possible. You don't want to suddenly cut out, you know, half the people who used to play the game just because you wanted shinier graphics.
Exactly.
Basically, what he described there was a new game, not an upgrade or not an update.
And I think Titan will be plenty pretty.
Oh, yes.
You know, on the whole, like, how to get 1 million subscribers back, I think the best thing that Blizzard or Activision or whatever can do is just wait. Because people will resubscribe again. People go through cycles all the time playing WoW.
Pretty much.
I do. So
yeah.
I think just focus on making a good fucking game and people will come back.
Yeah, it's totally that simple, Rob. Wow, you've solved it.
I know. I should be working for Blizzard right now.
You should.
I'll just be sitting in that boardroom and bang my fist on the desk. Why can't you make a good game? You need to tune up the graphics on level 3.
Tighten them up.
I'll sit on their boardroom and bang something and tighten something up.
Whoa.
All right.
Is Picaruno going to join
you? All right, stop it. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Horde House. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show, despite the fact it was a little bit of a train wreck. But no, actually, going to the guests tonight and starting to get the final thoughts tonight. Irene, I know you weren't really planning on being on the show, but thanks for sitting in. I hope you got what you needed out of it.
Oh, I got what I needed.
All right. She
achieved just quite a bit.
She's going to have to transmogrify her pants later. Do you have any final thoughts for us tonight, Rice Princess?
Not really, no.
All right. Peter Uno, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, I really apologize how Irene has been objectifying you all night. That's
me?
Yeah, Irene.
Hello. Christopher was like, oh, what? You SMD, blah, blah, blah. Say that again.
So, yeah, I think that's up a great point, Irene.
Yeah, so Picaruno, I apologize.
I was kind of expecting it,
right here. I apologize for this right here. So.
No, well, thank you also for having for recording the show earlier so I could take part.
No problem. Come back sometime when we're not taping at 4 in the morning your time. All right. My final thought tonight is I want to plug the emails one more time. HordeHousePodcast@gmail.com. And also our Facebook. We need more fans on Facebook. Facebook.com/HordeHouse. And that's where you can see Extrovert shopping at Fry's if you really want. All right.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not in the vlogs and they're HordeHouse vlogs, at least Extrovert's in them. So.
Maybe you'll be in one tonight.
That's right. Tonight's video games night. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yay.
What are we going to play at video games night tonight?
Well, I bought... Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say I'm bringing Brawl and, I don't know, something else Christopher told me to bring.
I have Tetris, and I wanted to know, Rob, if you could bring your PS3 controllers so we could have four player
Tetris.
I
have two PS3 controllers if you need it.
Well, you only need to bring one because Jim has two, and he's going to bring both of his.
Oh, I see. So Jim brings two. No,
and I also just bought the Contra game, the hardcore Contra game or whatever it is.
All right.
It's on PSN. So.
So I'm looking forward to game night.
Need to bring the GameCube controllers for Brawl? Or...
Sure.
Picaruno, if you got on a flight right now, you might be able to make game night tomorrow.
I so want to be there, seriously.
You totally should. Hang out with us.
Flights are only, what, $1,000? All right. Look,
whatever. It's just a little pocket change.
Just go loot a plane ticket. All right. Extrafer, your final thought tonight.
I just want to hear Picaruno say transmogrifier again.
Wait, hang on a sec. Transmogrifier.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
All right. And so is the
finished.
Show.
Fiend is what they say.
Thank you guys for downloading Horde House. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Wait, wait, stop the music, stop the music. We got to come back because it just came to my attention that, oops, kind of left out a part of the show. Hey, we were just so into a transmogrification and all that. totally forgot to do the topic of the week this week. My bad. So here's the topic of the week. It's actually about the same kind of topic we were just talking about with the void storage and everything. What is an item in your bank that's useless that you just can't seem to get rid of? Because, you know, people will hang on to items in their bank for forever for no real reason other than they just want to. And that's the reason why our banks are full, hence why we want more storage. So what is clogging up your bank that you just can't seem to get rid of? So, Picaruno, I guess I'll start with you tonight. What's in your bank that you just can't get rid of?
My bank is absolutely full to the brim of various shit, basically. Whether it's old armor or just alternative armor sets, because as you know, druids need like 3 sets of armor. And plus, I just like collect stuff from quests that are cool, or you know, random drops like diary pages that are funny, stuff like that. But I'd say probably the most useless thing I've got in my bank at the moment, probably, remember during the Wrath of Lich King launch event where you had all the like Scourge invasion stuff going on?
Yes.
And the Scourge sometimes dropped tokens. I think they were called necrotic runes.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got some of those. And they are never going to be used again.
I was going to say, I think those are actually completely useless now, so it might be safe to get rid of them.
But they're like a unique thing. You can't get them anymore. You'll never be able to get them again.
Okay, now you're sounding like one of those people's on Hoarders.
I am a hoarder. I can't throw anything away.
Do you have that show over there? Because I'll tell you, that's some fascinating fun.
I don't think so, but it's just a trait I have. I just hoard shit all the time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should go through your bank and check to see if you have any dead cats. Because that's when you have a real problem.
All right. The only show that's better than Hoarders is My Strange Addiction.
I don't like that show. It's too...
I sit on the couch biting my nails screaming at that show because, like, you know, when she's, like, eating her couch, it's like...
Yeah. Like, what the hell is that? Exactly. I don't even... No.
I don't know what couch that is.
She eats the stuffing in her couch cushions. And there's...
Okay. She'll, like, take it with her in her purse and, like, munch on
the
popcorn.
Does she say it tastes good?
Yeah, it's like comforting to her or something. But then there's like that's not just her. Like there's the chick that eats Comet, and there's the one that licks the ashtrays. Like,
Okay, that's a bit of an acquired taste.
See, so what I'm talking about? You're sitting on the couch just biting your nails and screaming because you can't believe people are really doing this.
How can you eat Comet and survive? I don't understand how.
Wait, Comet?
Kitchen sink cleaner.
Powder. Oh, right.
Like it's like powdery and green and yeah.
And quite poisonous.
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. They always take them to the doctor, and the doctor tells them about how they're like fucking their bodies up by eating all this stuff. Or it's not always an eating thing. Like there was the chick who she sleeps with her hair dryer every night.
What?
Yeah, her hair dryer is on and blowing hot air on her every night, and she can't sleep without it. And it's like, bitch, you are going to burn your house down.
Why doesn't she just turn on a heater?
It's the blow dryer. She has to. I don't know.
I watched another show.
Tonight's topic is not about addiction. It's about.
damn it.
It is.
Well, it is about addiction to Warcraft. But that's not so strange. All right. Irene, how about you? I know you don't play WoW right now, but do you have something that will be waiting in your bank for you when you get back that you should have gotten rid of?
Yeah, I have like a lot of the like holiday pets and like all of that useless crap in my bank, but the one thing that I have on Shesta, which is my horde hunter, that I've had pretty much since the beginning, is my insignia of the horde, the original one, it's been in there for the longest time, because you can get upgrades to the insignias that give you like stat bonuses and stuff. So that's been sitting there this whole time, and I just can't, you know, bring myself to to toss it.
Because it's the OG one. It's the original.
It is, yeah. And it's just, it was with me through my rough times. And it's like, no, it's like I'm throwing away a piece of my soul if I do that.
Aww.
So, yeah. So it's still in there.
Hoarding tendencies.
Yep, very much so.
Pretty much.
I'll go next before we go to Extifer. Item about, I was actually going to say the holiday items too, and I even have the stupid Violet Drake from doing all the holiday stuff, so hanging on to that shit really doesn't do me any good, but I just can't get rid of it. Like, I feel like I might need it later. But I will say this. The lunar dress. I love
Why?
The dresses.
Oh, God.
Dresses from the Lunar Festival, because they're pretty, and I have to have
Girl,
them all.
Girl, you're so gay. You're gay. Wow.
That is so
but
gay.
But keep in mind, I play a female dwarf, and dresses usually aren't a very female dwarf thing, so seeing my female dwarf in the dress is really amusing to me. Like, I love those Lunar Festival dresses.
Gosh, you're right, Rob. That does make you less gay.
All right, stop. So you look, there was the question, there's my answer. The dresses, I can't seem to get rid of them, so there you go. All right. Extifer, what's an item in your bank that's useless that you just can't seem to get rid of?
I don't think there's any item that I can't get rid of now.
Yeah, you're just a hoarder in denial.
No, I seriously, before I actually quit the game, I went through my bags and I deleted like a lot of crap, and this was crap that I had like for years. Like, I even had a lunar dress from when I played Extaferal on this two servers before the one that I'm on right now, and that was a long time ago, and I deleted it. It just doesn't, I mean, it's not unique to me. It just, there's no like sentimental value of the items, like, because they're, you know, anybody can link them, so I don't know. Like, it, they
so you
no
had
use.
A lot of useless shit. You just
I did.
Finally, you did a purge. You did a clean sweep.
I did.
You had what's her name? Come over to your house. Oh God, what is that show? It's the clean sweep show, and that chick from Reno 911 comes.
Oh, Niecy Nash.
Niecy Nash.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Comes to the house and gets people to throw away their shit. You had Niecy Nash come over before you quit. Wow.
Yeah, she's like, you done throw away all this crap. I don't know. I don't have a good impersonation.
That was a really terrible impersonation, but
yeah.
That was worse than my British accent, actually. So congrats.
It was pretty close.
Right.
Yeah.
Transmogrifier.
Oh God.
All right.
I can hear him cringing.
So there you go. Those are the items in our banks that's useless and can't seem to get rid of. What about you guys? Send us tweets, twitter.com/hoardhouse, or you can send us an email, hoardhousepodcast@gmail.com. Now, Salacious Pop is PvPing behind me with some of his guildies, so he can hear us taping, and he actually already sent a tweet, so I'll read this, his response here. Read the current topic of the week. Probably the diamond dust and tokens for Hala. I never get them out, but I'm just stubborn.
Oh, I miss Hala.
I fucking miss
Hala
too. Hala was an awesome PvP. I love that.
It was so fun.
Oh my God, I used to love to bomb the people.
Me too.
It was fun, but it wasn't popular enough that Blizzard like did a renew.
Extifer went to another dimension. Do you guys?
He did. Too.
That's the Dalek effect that he's got going on right now.
I am not a robot.
All right, there you go. So what were you saying, Extifer? You were breaking up.
I was saying that it wasn't popular enough among the player base, apparently, according to Blizzard, because because the zone wide PvP, they stopped doing that with the exception of like just Winter Grasp, and they just gave it to their own zones. They didn't put it integrate PvP into regular PvE zones anymore.
You know what we need to do? We need to plan a Hala night on Drendon.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
We're gonna make Hala cool again.
Okay, but we're one side, so that'll be fun.
Well, we can get some alliance people. I think Phantomus is in an alliance guild. He can get some alliance people to battle the horde.
Okay.
You know, Blizzard should just make that into a queueable battleground.
Oh my God, yes.
They should. You're right.
They really should.
Bit small though.
It's small, but they could create it on a like a grander scale. Like of some sort.
Just retain the basic concept.
Yeah, they don't have to call it Hala. They can make just a different.
No. They need to call it Hala.
All right. Hala.
Yeah.
All right.
Hala Batgirl.
Yes.
All right. That's going to do it for real now for the show. So thank you guys. Sorry we forgot the topic of the week, but it wouldn't be a train wreck if we didn't forget one segment of the show as we tend to do around here. So Now for real, we'll see you next week on Horde House, and hopefully we'll have a complete show next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.